Let me open, let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. Higher plane than I have found. Lord, grant my feet on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I made a comment that my prayer is that may God's mercy and grace be accepted by that soul nearest hell right now. I made that comment, and that is my prayer. You may say, well, what does that mean? Well, my prayer is that that soul is getting ready to drop off into eternity. That soul right now is getting ready to go into eternity without Jesus Christ. That person is nearest hell right now, and I'm sure there's more than one. But that person nearest hell is that person who has never trusted Jesus Christ, and they are on their way to hell right now. And my prayer for you is that if that's you, that you will trust him. You will bow your head right now and ask him to come into your heart. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Well, last time we left off in Ephesians chapter 4, and we had read verses 20 and 21. Let me read that again. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If, verse 21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul the Apostle was telling these individuals in that local church that there were people who would come into the local congregation evidently and was trying to lead these people astray. But Paul said, you've heard the truth. You know the truth. He said, you're not to be like them. You're not to do what these people who are telling you wrong. You're not to be like them, but you have not so learned Christ. You've not learned Christ that way. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. If you've heard him, and it doesn't mean that you've heard Christ preach personally, but you've heard him preached. You've heard through not only the physical ear, but you've heard through the ear of your heart, the innermost being. And it says there in verse 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, that's the innermost being, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means as you are saved and you're saved, I believe that you will tell someone, yes, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Why would you do that? Because you're happy that you're on your way to heaven. And Paul wrote earlier, and we read this in Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, that's Jesus, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have so much to be thankful for today as saved people. We're sealed with the Spirit of promise, so the Holy Spirit. And I keep thinking about individuals who believe that they're saved today and they can be lost tomorrow. Won't you really believe God to take care of you through this life? Now I believe that you get saved, and sometimes things come along, and we've been talking about sin in the body, how that we can get to a certain point in our life where we just don't even feel like we're saved. Now let me remind you, you're not saved by feeling. You're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed. You can't break that seal. You're not stronger than God. And what you need to do, if you're not living for him, you need to get things right with God so that you are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul says you've not learned it that way. You've not learned to be in disobedience to Christ. You've been taught better than that. He says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Once again, not personally, but by his Spirit and ministers. Why? For Christ is not only the subject of the ministry of the word, in whom the Spirit of God teaches and directs souls to righteousness, pardon, cleansing, and for every supply of grace, that he is the efficient He's so efficient. He's the cause of teaching. And there is none who teaches like him. And those who are taught by him are taught as the truth is in Jesus Christ. How are we taught by him? It's through his word that we learn and we grow. He's teaching us as we study his word. And the gospel is in Jesus Christ as it was originally given, which never changes. The gospel of Jesus Christ never changes. And I believe Paul the Apostle is telling these people at Ephesus that there's people trying to confuse them and telling them that there's another gospel. There is no other gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. Well, the gospel is in Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. For he is truth itself. And grace and truth came by him. And as it was preached by him, and so is pure and unmixed, as preached by his ministers. And did you realize that if you name the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a minister? Now, I'm not telling you that means you're standing behind a pulpit and preaching. That means that as a minister of Christ, you're an ambassador. And you've been given the authority to tell other individuals about Jesus Christ, how that he can save and how that he can help individuals live the life that he wants them to live. And that life is serving him. And once again, that is eternal life, meaning that person that you witness to and tell about Jesus, they're on their way to heaven. They have eternal life. Well, now let's look at verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 4. Notice this. Paul in verse 21 is leading up to verse 22. Where it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Well, now, put off the old man. Well, that doesn't mean like I'm an old man. I mean, let's face it, I am old. But that's not speaking of putting off myself. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Well, notice this in verse 22, that you put off, that you, in other words, lay aside or abandon something. And it would seem by the wording that in the church at Ephesus, there had been some teaching or instruction contrary to the sound doctrine of the gospel. And I've mentioned this before, something that is contrary to the doctrine of the gospel, the teaching of the truth that they had received. And there had possibly been teachers there who had not enforced the practical teaching of what had been delivered to the church originally. And I fear that's happening in many churches today, that the truth has been delivered at one time or another, but down through the years that somebody has just, they've just gotten away from it. They've been listening to someone who didn't know what they were talking about. And Paul the Apostle is telling these people here, and he's telling us that we are to lay aside or abandon the words of people who do not know the truth, that they are not living according to what God says they are to live, and they are not teaching according to the doctrine of the gospel. They're not teaching the whole counsel of the Lord. And once again, what Paul seems to be saying to those in the Ephesus church and to those of us who have received Christ as Savior, he's saying this, that with respect to former conduct or habits of life, lay aside. We're not to live like the unsaved. We're to put off all that pertained to the corrupt and fallen nature. The dress, manners, manner of speech, and associations. All of these might have been, in many respects, correct as we lived the unsaved life, but everything that proceeded from sin, every habit, custom, manner of speech, and of conduct that was the result of depravity is to be laid aside, in other words, put off. The abnormal characteristics of an unconverted man are to be put off, and the characteristics of the saved person are to be those that demonstrate a changed life in Jesus Christ. And by the way, if an unsaved person looks at you, and they do, and they don't see any difference in you than in themselves, why would they want what you have? What you have is eternal life. Well, why would they want something that has not changed you? Well, what I mean is that hasn't changed you. In other words, you're still living like an unsaved person. Now, I'm not speaking to everybody, but maybe you listening today, maybe that's you, and you need to be living for the Lord. And I fear that many people today, as they go to church and they see a lot of different things going on, and it's not the way God has intended for churches to be. We see all kinds of things taking place in the, I'll call it the modern church, how that you see the rock and roll taking place in there, and you say, well, they're worshiping God. Well, that's what they want you to believe. Some people believe that if they just simply mention the name Jesus in a rock song, they call it the CCM or Christian rock or a Christian music that is rocky, they simply say they're mentioning Jesus, and they think that makes it all right. And so many people listen to it, and they think it's all right. Well, it's not all right, because we are to serve God in the proper manner. And some people believe they can take a social drink every now and then, and there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, Jesus Christ turned the water into wine. Well, he didn't turn it into fermented wine, I'll tell you that right now, because the Bible does not contradict itself. You go back in the book of Proverbs, and it tells you don't even look upon it when it moves aright. In other words, when it's fermented, don't even look upon it. Why would Jesus write something like that and have it written down if he's going to turn around and say it's all right to drink it? He would never do that. So don't let anybody ever tell you that it's right to take a social drink and get drunk or whatever, and you say, well, I don't get drunk when I take a social drink. Well, you're doing wrong. If you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're wrong. If you take any kind of alcoholic beverage, I call it a beverage, I call it garbage. And you need to get things right with God. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to these people at Ephesus. He's trying to get that across to each person as they study the Word of God and they read. Paul the Apostle says, don't be like the unsaved. Don't act like the unsaved. Don't have music like the unsaved. Don't drink like the unsaved. Don't do the things that brings dishonor and disgrace to my Heavenly Father, Jesus says. Well, how can we know what the right manner of living for the saved person is? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, this verse teaches us that we have put on Christ when we accepted him as Savior. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 is not speaking of water baptism, but that of putting on Christ, his robe of righteousness, by being immersed in him. Now, how can we know what the right manner of living is? Psalm 25, it says this, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 31:3 says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalm 139, verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And Psalm 143 and verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. We need to be asking God to lead us and guide us into all truth, helping us to know how that we are to live. And I believe once we get into the Word of God, we pray and we talk to our Heavenly Father. We trust him to take care of us. We get serious with him, and he will guide us and help us to know what is the right thing in our life. We get things right with him. Know him today as your Savior. And if you do know him, live for him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.